Trinadapi sunichena, Tadariva sahishnuna, Amanina manadena, Kirtaniya sadahari, Harinama, Harinama, Harinamaiva kevalam, Kalo nastiva, nastiva, nastiva gatiranyata. So, I have a special email that I received just an hour ago, which I think you will appreciate. Dear His Grace Nirantara Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for sending this. Myself and Sita Takarani are watching, listening on the internet every day. An excellent and nectarine presentation on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We like your example of remote control in last night's lecture. It is so true that we all have choices to make, and our spiritual advancement is very much dependent on that. Thanks again for giving this seminar. We look forward for the program every evening. Thank you, Hari Bol, your humble servants, Advaita Chandra Das and Sita Takarani Devi Dasi. But the real credit goes to Pushpa and Shekhar for hosting. So let's give them a big Hari Bol. So tonight, we're going to study chapter 4. And then, after we finish chapter 4, I have a special announcement. So, please. If you're ready to proceed, say Gauranga. Very good. Chapter 4 has 42 verses entitled Transcendental Knowledge. And I have a word from my producer. 18 viewers already at the start. Let's say Hari Bol to our 18 viewers. Thank you, my producer, who is far, far away. Just like Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra are far away from the battlefield. So, transcendental knowledge. What is transcendental knowledge? It means knowledge which is beyond the range of your experimental mind and senses. In other words, it's beyond what the scientists can come up with, because they can only perceive material knowledge. But when you come to Bhagavad Gita and you hear from Krishna, who is from the transcendental world, then you get transcendental knowledge. Verses 1 through 3 is entitled, Who Can and How to Understand the Gita? So let's begin. Follow along. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god Vivaswan. And Vivaswan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind. And Manu, in turn, instructed it to Ikshvaku. So this took place. Now, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5,000 years ago. What Krishna is referring to took place from that point millions of years ago. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, the Sanskrit word parampara. What Krishna just said, he spoke to the sun god gave it to his son. That's called parampara. Guru to disciple, like that. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So notice science. Too many people think religion is sentiment. No. What we study in Bhagavad Gita is science. It's perfect scientific knowledge coming from Apaurusheya, someone not of this material world, someone coming from this transcendental world. Notice, in course of time, the succession was broken. So, later on, when we get to the chapter Vishvarup, universal form, Virat Rup, when Arjuna asks the universal form, who are you? What is your mission? Krishna in the universal form will say, I am time, and I have come to destroy everything. That's what time does. You know this. You look in the mirror. What do you notice? Another wrinkle, another gray hair. As we say in America, I'm not getting any younger. Time acts imperceptibly. One day, I woke up and I realized I needed glasses. I was like 49, 50 years old. I had 20/20 vision, but one day I couldn't read the label. I couldn't read the small print. What happened? Time. Time. Little by little by little, it steals the way, the life. So in the same way, in due course of time, what breaks this disciplic succession? Somebody doesn't repeat what they heard. Somebody changed it. Somebody altered it. That's when the succession breaks. The best thing is we should be like post peons. You don't want the mailman opening your letters, do you? All you want the mailman to do, put the letter in the box. Thank you very much. Hasta la pasta. So, in the same way, the disciple is supposed to repeat verbatim what he heard from his guru. Soon as the disciple changes it, it's lost. Prabhupada once said, in Los Angeles, I have no qualification. I'm not a great scholar. I'm not a great devotee. But I have firm faith in the words of my spiritual master. So ISKCON will go on provided the disciples and grand disciples of Prabhupada don't change the message. Just repeat. That's all you've got to do. Just repeat. Let us go on. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of the science. Yes, it's a mystery. And in order to unlock the mystery, bhakto si me sakha cheti, you have to be Krishna's devotee and Krishna's friend. That's all. You know what it's like to be a friend of somebody, right? So be Krishna's friend. And to be Krishna's devotee means you're into Krishna. That's all. Being a devotee means you're into Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, words, everything. You're totally into Krishna. That's what it means to be a devotee. Now let's go to the next section, verses 4 through 8. Understanding Krishna's transcendental position. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Because as far as Arjuna knows, he and Krishna are contemporaries. At this stage, Krishna and Arjuna are about 120 years old, maybe a little more, because Krishna left the planet when he was 125. So they're contemporaries. So as far as Arjuna knows, wait, you spoke to the son. When was that? Right? Supposing Shekhar says, oh, yes, I went to the moon. And we would go, when? When did you go to the moon? Because we know Shekhar, especially his wife, would say, when did you go to the moon? You've been with me every day. So Arjuna's inquiry is plausible. When did this happen? The personality of Godhead said, many, many births, both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. So here's the difference between God and us. Even the difference between God and Arjuna. Arjuna is far more advanced than we are. And he doesn't remember all of his births. Krishna does. Remember, on the night of Janmashtami, when Krishna appeared as Narayan, what did he tell Devaki and Vasudeva? This is the third time I am coming as your son. Vasudeva and Devaki didn't know that. And so Krishna told them, this is previously you were this, previously was this, and this is the third time I'm coming as your son. Krishna had to tell them. So the difference between us and God is that God can remember all of his quote-unquote births, because that's coming up. Let's go to verse number 6. Although I am unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So if you recall, when we studied in chapter 2, the soul, one of the symptoms of the soul was aja, unborn. So if the soul's unborn, Krishna is certainly unborn. It would be completely contradictory to say we're unborn, but not God. That would be crazy. So Krishna says, I'm unborn, and my transcendental body never deteriorates. Even though Krishna was 120 some odd years on the battle of Kurukshetra, he looked like a 20-year-old youth. I'm 61. I don't even look anywhere near a 21-year-old. That's because this is a material body. And that old time factor is dwindling this material body. But Krishna's body is transcendental. And everyone could see Krishna's transcendental body at that time. Okay? And he says, although I am the Lord of all living entities, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. So there are 6 kinds of avatars. So this statement by Krishna can be seen in different ways. Krishna himself, in the original form as Krishna, appears once in a day of Brahma. A day of Brahma is millions of earth years. Okay? So once in the day of Brahma, Krishna comes himself as he is. Other than that, he is coming in either of 6 different kinds of avatars. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains all the different avatars of Krishna that have appeared throughout the ages. So it can be seen like that. Let's continue. Verse number 7. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and the predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. In the beginning, in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, Mother Earth has approached Lord Brahma. She's in the form of a cow, and she's crying, and she explains to Lord Brahma, I feel overburdened by all these demons headed by Kamsa. because Kamsa had created the axis of evil. He had made an alliance with all the demons, and they were building up their military industrial complex. Mother Earth was feeling overburdened. So Brahma took Mother Earth and the other demigods, Lord Shiva, they went and prayed to Shirodakashai Vishnu. And the message was, I'm coming. Krishna said, I'm coming to alleviate all the atrocities. I'll take care of all the demons. So because there was a predominant rise of irreligion, when the demons become too powerful, one of the results is religion becomes squashed. So the question I'm asked all the time by people, Prabhuji, Krishna just said, whenever there is a decline in religious practice and a rise of irreligion, I descend. Prabhuji, this is the age of Kali. Things are getting so bad. When is Krishna coming? The answer, he has already come. He has come in the form of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because it says in the Vedas, that in the age of Kali, the Krishna avatar is Krishna Nam, the name of Krishna, given to us and brought to us and preached to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who inaugurated the real religion of this age, the chanting of the holy names of God, everybody. Raise your hands, get some exercise. One more time. Jai. We'll multitask tonight. Very good. So those who want to get shelter in this age of Kali, they will take to this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Continuing. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. Like I said, there are six different kinds of avatars. So either he comes himself, he comes as an incarnation, or he sends one of his representatives, one of his sons, one of his servants, who delivers the message. Now, so through three things, deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants, and establish real religion. So now we go to the next section of this chapter, how to achieve perfection. And of course, the first verse of this section is one of the top 10 verses. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. Why is this verse so special? Because look at what Krishna is saying. If you simply understand the nature of Krishna's janma and karma, his birth and his activities, that they're transcendental. So when we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam all of the Krishna Leela, we have to always remember, even though he's killing Putana, even though he's stealing the clothes of the gopis, even though he's doing this, all the different, these are transcendental activities. And Krishna's appearance is also transcendental. Krishna says, if you can understand this factually, what's the payoff? Upon leaving the body, in other words, death, you won't take birth again here in the material world. You will achieve Krishna's abode. That's the benefit of understanding Krishna in truth. And later on in this chapter, Krishna will give the key how you can understand Krishna in truth. You need something. That's coming up in this chapter. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Love of God is the ultimate goal of religion. The other point here is that many people have already done this. This is nothing new. This process is approved. It's been going on since time immemorial. It is the standard process. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Another big verse of Bhagavad Gita. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So this means that the relationship with God is not a one-way street. It's reciprocal. As you approach Krishna, he also approaches you. Prabhupada used to say, you take one step to Krishna, Krishna takes 10 to you. Pretty good. So, Krishna says, everyone's on my path. So some people are here, some people here, here. So it doesn't matter. You just worry about where you're at and go further and further and closer and approach Krishna. Surrender more and more. Men in this world desire success and fruitive activities, and therefore they worship demigods. Quickly, of course, men get results from fruitive work in this world. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. So, this is the original pure caste system. Not the modern day caste system. But the original caste system is not based on birth. It's based on how you actually live and how you actually work. That's what it's. And it also has to do with what kind of nature you have. We're not all the same. We were actually discussing this last night at the table. Some people, by nature, they're sudra, meaning they need a master. They have a master, they're happy, and they'll work nicely. Some people, by nature, no matter what you do, they'll figure out a way to make money. Vaishyas. Some people, by nature, are kshatriyas, meaning they protect, they rule. There are certain qualifications if somebody has a kshatriya nature. And there's a Brahmin nature. A Brahmin nature means somebody is sense controlled, mind controlled, practices austerities, reads the shastras. So there are different natures. This you can't avoid. Krishna is saying, I created this. Everyone has a certain nature. Let us continue. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Yes, Krishna sets the system up, but he's not affected. He's detached. He continues on this same point. There is no work that affects me, nor do I aspire for the fruits of action. One who understands this truth about me also does not become entangled in the fruitive reactions of work. Therefore, this means that Krishna is always transcendental. Even though you will read in the Bhagavatam that Krishna is doing so many things, he is like the sun. The sun is never contaminated. The sun is so powerful, it can purify a big reservoir of contaminated water. The sun never gets contaminated. Krishna is the same way. Nothing that Krishna can do can contaminate him. Therefore, he is prophylactic. And the other thing about Krishna is that any impure thing that comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. So he's antiseptic. This is like the sun. The sun is given in the Vedas in so many instances to help us understand God. So we should always remember that, and you'll see in the Krishna Leela, in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many people came in contact with Krishna, they became purified, like Kubja, the hunchback woman. She approached Krishna with lusty desires, but Krishna worked it out in such a way that her lusty desires were squelched and she became a great devotee. Many times, the demons that Krishna killed got salvation. So, incident after incident, anyone who comes in contact with Krishna, they get purified. Even you come in contact with Krishna's name, you get purified. You come in contact, here we have in our Gita Bhavan temple here. Krishna is here, is he not? So when you look at Krishna, you're getting purified. So when you hear about, so you're attending this Bhagavad Gita seminar, you're getting purified because you're hearing about Krishna. The deity is here, you're getting purified. And every so often we'll chant. So let's chant, everybody. Newsflash, 41 viewers on the internet. Jai. We're getting better and better. Let's not get puffed up. Hare Krishna. All the liberated souls in ancient times acted with this understanding of my transcendental nature. Therefore, you should perform your duty following in their footsteps. So that this section, just remember, Krishna is always transcendental. He cannot commit a sin. He cannot be affected by karma. He does not die if he gets shot in the foot. Nothing can affect Krishna. That's the key here. And once that understanding is accepted, then you can proceed nicely. Now let us go to the next section, understanding karma. Now this section is a little tricky. I'll try my best to explain it. Sometimes it takes a while to get it because it's a little confusing, but I will try my best. Are you ready to proceed? Very good. Verse number 16. Even the intelligent are bewildered in determining what is action and what is inaction. So Krishna is right. Don't worry. If you don't understand it, that's okay. Even the intelligent don't understand it. Now I shall explain to you what action is, knowing which you shall be liberated from all misfortune. You're going to get a benediction just by understanding. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So, karma, vikarma, akarma. Karma means right, proper action. Vikarma. Vikarma means disobeying the laws of God, or if you don't like that phrase, the law of nature. Take your pick. And akarma means action, but there's no good or bad material reaction. When you do a right action, your result is material happiness. When you commit a sinful action and violate the laws of God and nature, the fruit is suffering. When you do akarma, which means action, but there's no material good or bad reaction, your fruit is spiritual transcendental. So these are the three things. Every one of us is doing one of these three things. Either we're doing proper pious action, or we're doing sinful action, or we're doing this other thing, akarma. Another name for akarma, bhakti. Bhakti is akarma. But it's still action. And this is the kicker. Because too many people think akarma means no action. Wrong. You'll see. That's not what is akarma. That's what many people think. Akarma means no action. Wrong. Akarma means action which does not produce any good or bad material. It is a spiritual result. That's why bhakti is synonymous with akarma. Let's go. Look at number 18. One who sees inaction, and action in inaction is intelligent among men and is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. I will explain this. Okay? So the first one, one who sees inaction in action, meaning bhakti. You're doing activity, but there's no material good or bad result that you have to suffer or enjoy. It's activity, but the result, the reward is a spiritual benefit. That's inaction in action. The other one, action in inaction, means the person who thinks, if I don't do anything, then I won't get any bad result. But Krishna is saying, actually, that's action. For instance, in chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, Arjuna didn't want to fight. That's called inaction. But later in chapter 2, Krishna said, you think that by not fighting, being non-active, you won't incur sin. But Krishna said in chapter 2, actually by not fighting, you will incur sin. So therefore, it's action in so-called inaction. I gave the example of the policeman. We're being attacked. We call 911. The policeman comes to the door. All of a sudden, he gets to the front door and he decides, no action. I'm not going to enter and save us. So he thinks, this is non-action. But that's actually a violent act against us, is it not? You see the point here? So even in give me another example. Say you're driving down the freeway and you see a horrible accident, right? Now a good person gets on the cell phone, calls an ambulance, right? Right? But if I happen to pass a accident and I don't do anything, that's bad inaction, isn't it? I'm walking down the street and I see somebody attacking Tanya and I say, nope, I have to be nonviolent. This was Prabhupada's criticism of someone, I won't say the name. Some famous person in India was asked, if your daughter was being raped, would you be nonviolent? He said, yes. Is that right or wrong? That's stupid. That's action in inaction. If I see any of you being attacked, I must try to save you. Right? My not trying to protect you is action in inaction. It's not helping you. That means I'm hard-hearted. Right? I have to act in such a way that I try to help and protect you. Does any of this, does it make sense to you? Yes. Wait, wait. Yes, yes. Arjuna in the beginning did not want to fight. Krishna at the outset was saying, no, this is not right. You think that by not fighting in action, you won't incur sin. And Krishna says, no, by not fighting, you will incur sin. Because the right decision, which Krishna is repeatedly getting to in Bhagavad Gita, is what? Nonviolence? What is Krishna? What have we heard so far in four chapters, repeatedly by Krishna? Fight. We've heard it at least twice in chapter 2. We heard it yesterday in chapter 3. And we're going to hear it again in this chapter. Therefore, get up and fight. Let's go on. One is understood to be in full knowledge, whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. Sense gratification means I'm doing something for my own personal bodily happiness and pleasure. The opposite of sense gratification is bhakti or akarma, actions which are pleasing to Krishna. That's bhakti. For instance, you are now hearing Bhagavad Gita. That is very pleasing to Krishna. He is in your heart and he's smiling on you. Oh, you're hearing about me? Right now, Krishna is blessing you, unless you're asleep. But if you're paying attention, Krishna in your heart is very happy with you. And what's he doing? He's removing inauspiciousness from your heart. Tell me if it's not true. It's true for me. So far we did it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. By the time I'm driving home in the car, I feel so nice. Are you feeling nice at the end of the program? Because Krishna is reciprocating. We already read the verse, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. You're seeing it firsthand. So a devotee doesn't do anything for his or her own sense gratification. A pure devotee does everything for Krishna. Mundane example. A mother, you mothers, when you had your babies, who came first? Husband or baby? Baby. Right? And even at your own expense, you took care of baby. Even if it meant going without sleep, going without food, you first of all took care of baby. Yes or no? Yes. That's why Prabhupada says, love of mother for child is the closest material example to pure bhakti. Because it's not that you were making a deal with your baby. Okay, I'll change you. I'll feed you. But I want... No. You did it and you still do it. Even your so-called baby now is married and has baby of his own. Still, as soon as there's some need, gotta go. I've given the example of my wife too. If my daughter needs something, she'll tell me, goodbye, I gotta go. That is God's design. God has, if that wasn't there, God, there'd be no human race. That is God's blessing that the mother is designed that way. Let's go on. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid of desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. Abandoning all attachment to the results of activities, ever satisfied and independent, he performs no fruitive action, although engaged in all kinds of undertakings. The impersonalist tells you, don't do anything. But Bhagavad Gita, because it's not impersonal, Bhagavad Gita is telling you, you do actions, but you do actions that are pleasing to Krishna, bhakti, there's no material reaction. You're free. Such a man of understanding acts with mind and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship. Didn't we learn last night the final verse? Bhuktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka mahesh. Who is the proprietor of everything? Nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. You've told me time and time again, Prabhu, this is not my house, it's Krishna's house. You instinctively know that, coming from Indian Hindu culture. That's instinctively there. Gives up all sense of proprietorship over possession and acts only for the bare necessities of life. This is called simple living, high thinking. The demon is simple thinking, high living. That's the opposite. Thus working, he is not affected by sinful reactions. The devotee, bhakta, does work, but that work doesn't yield any material reaction. One who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. Krishna is repeating this concept, keeping you in remembrance. Yes, and at the same time, later on in chapter 8, we will learn one of my favorite verses. Arjuna, I want you to think of me and at the same time, fight. Both things he wants. But I'm a housewife. Too bad. You be a housewife and think of Krishna. But I'm a businessman. No. Do your prescribed duty, but remember Krishna. You see? That we'll learn in chapter 8. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. The work, when you are working for Krishna, all that work merges into transcendence, got nothing to do with the material world. Now the next section, verses 24 through 31, understanding sacrifice. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. We just got a message, news update, 48. Hari Bol. So, what this verse number 24 is telling you is that when you are engaged in bhakti, everything that is connected is also transcendental and spiritual. Someone may object, look at you, You've got a camera. You've got all this equipment. I thought you spiritual people were supposed to be materially lean. Look at you. Computer, recorder, iPod, sound system. You're not spiritual. No. Everything you see here, who am I using it for? Therefore, this is spiritual. That's the meaning of this verse. As long as these so-called material things are used for Krishna, they're spiritual. But if I take this iPod and start singing some Lady Gaga song, now it becomes material. But as long as it's used for Krishna, it retains its spiritual quality. That's the key. Same way, we are offering bhoga to Krishna. What makes it prasad? We offer it, we say the prayers, Krishna accepts our what? The love by which it's offered. And now it becomes Krishna Fela, the remnants of Krishna. And it's mixed with Krishna's saliva, and therefore it becomes completely transcendental. It's no longer rice, dal, sabji, pur, no. It's Krishna Prasad. Key ingredient. So I've heard it year after year. Somebody will come for a Sunday feast, or someone will go to Govinda's restaurant, and I've heard it. What makes this food taste so good? And they'll say, I've tried to make this at home, it doesn't taste the same. Yes. You have to know the secret ingredient. It's not rice, dal, wheat, it's not that. It's food offered first for sacrifice. Let's continue. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them. And some of them offer sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Some, the unadulterated brahmacharis, sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. For instance, when Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerity, he had his arms outstretched and he was standing on his tippy toes for hundreds of years. By that austerity, fire was coming from his skull. And even though ants and all kinds of insects had eaten the flesh off his body, Hiranyakashipu was so powerful he didn't die. And that fire coming from the sacrifice that he was doing was so powerful, it was disturbing the whole universe. Same with Dhruva. When Dhruva was doing his sacrifice, it was causing the demigods in the heavens to choke. And they said to Lord Brahma, do something. So this is what happens when you perform severe penances and austerities. You get, like you say, shakti. You get great powers. So the brahmacharis and others, the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. In other words, an unregulated householder is called a grihamedhi. The grihamedhi thinks, I have all these things in my house for my pleasure. A grihastha thinks, I can have all these things for Krishna's pleasure. Big difference in consciousness. Grihastha, like Yudhishthira, he was king. Kings don't live poor. Kings live opulent. But kings like Ambarish, Yudhishthira, Parikshit, even though they were opulent, they lived an opulent lifestyle for the satisfaction of Krishna, not for their personal aggrandizement. Difference. 27. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses, offered the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Dhruva, within 6 months, he was taking a breath every other day. He was controlling his breathing to such an extent. We can't even hold a breath for 10 seconds. He was holding it for a day. He had achieved mastery of his entire 5-year-old boy. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions. Pariksit did that before he, the 7 days after he got cursed, gave everything away like that. And others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. That's what I do. That's the kind of austerity I do. I study the Vedas in order to advance in transcendental knowledge. I have a taste for that. Still others who are inclined to the process of breath restraint to remain in trance practice by offering the movement of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in trance, stopping all breathing. Yes, that is how you can live to be 700 years. The way it works is, you are allotted X number of breaths. When you have breathed all your allotted breaths, that's when you die. So, if by yoga you can lengthen or reduce the number of breaths, you can extend your life. Easier said than done. But Prabhupada indicated every so often, every year, Prabhupada would go to the Kumbh Mela. And Prabhupada would tell his disciples, be very, very careful. Don't offend anyone. Because some of these persons here, they are 400 or 500 years old. And you may not be able to detect. Because they have mystic powers. They can appear like an ordinary person. But, and you know better than me, coming from India. Maybe you've already met some of these. They have achieved great powers by controlling the senses. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions. And having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? In other words, you cannot just enjoy, 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 enjoy. There has to be a program of austerity, penance, or in this case, sacrifice. Then you can live happily. But if all you want to do is enjoy, 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 no, you will become degraded. You'll not actually be happy. Yes, sir. What was the sentence? Oh, others curtailing the eating process. That's what I got to do now. That's my current program. Others curtailing the eating process. Offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. Very good. So now we go to the next section. And I just got a message. 51. This is the record. 51 online devotees. Everybody say Hari Bol. Let's chant the Maha Mantra, everybody. We just gained 2 by your chanting. That works that way. Yes. One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Tonight's a good night. Tonight's a very good night. I'm fired up. All right. Final instructions on sacrifice. All these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas. And all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. Clue, hint. So notice what Krishna is saying. The sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than just giving charity. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So the name of this chapter is Transcendental Knowledge. So that's actually the goal of what we're doing, is to amass transcendental knowledge. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Here is the key to success. You want to find a bona fide spiritual master, a representative of Krishna, who's presenting what we learned in the very beginning of this chapter, right? The parampara. You're looking for a person who is going to deliver the message of Krishna as it is. So, you learn the truth by, even Krishna had a spiritual master. He had Sandipani Muni. Didn't Lord Ramachandra have a spiritual master? Who was his spiritual master? Anybody know? Vishwamitra, yes. So even God has a spirit. Lord Chaitanya had a spiritual master. They teach. God teaches by example. And I gave, when we did the, a couple of weeks ago, when we did the Bhagavad Katha, and we heard the story of the churning of the ocean of milk, Bali Maharaj, the king of the demons, he's got a guru. So, everyone should have a, even the demons know enough to get a guru. When you're illegally implicated, what do? You get a lawyer guru. When you do your taxes, right? You have a CPA, right? CPA is your guru for your business. But here's the problem. In Kali Yuga, the conditioned soul thinks, I don't need a guru. I know everything. No, that's ridiculous. So Krishna is saying, try to learn the truth. Inquire submissively, not challenging. Submissively. And the big thing, render service. Render service. All right. Now number 35, because these two verses go together. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. So this is the proof that you have a bona fide spiritual master, that you understand everyone is Krishna's child. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. When you come to that understanding, now you know you have come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. This is the proof. Let's continue. Next section. Final section. Understanding transcendental knowledge. So let's sit straight and get into the final section. Everybody chant. Krishna. Even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of miseries. As a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within him or herself in due course of time. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues the senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Conclusion so far? Learn Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is the beginning of transcendental knowledge. Learn it thoroughly. Read it daily. Look what you're going to get. You're going to get the supreme spiritual peace if you're dedicated to this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness. They fall down. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. So, doubting is a sign of intelligence. But your doubts should be removed when you find someone who is in transcendental knowledge. For instance, when you're sick, when you're really sick, since you're not a doctor, you don't try to self-medicate. You go to the doctor guru. He has the knowledge. Now, you don't go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, we did the test. You have this, this, this. Now you have to do this, this. You don't then say, what does he know? You don't do that. It's your life. So the same way, when you find a bona fide representative of Krishna, you do exactly as the doctor prescribes. That's how I deal with Srila Prabhupada. What I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual doctor or guru. Whatever Prabhupada says, I don't question it. Whatever he says, that's what I do. That's called using your intelligence. That's called being faithful. But if I'm not faithful, look what's going to happen. For the doubting soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the next. And we see that. We see that. And I come in contact with so many people here all over the world. I come in contact with so many people. They have this problem of doubt. Even I try to tell them, you should do this, you should do this, because they still have doubt, they can't progress. Prahlad Maharaj told his classmates, when Prahlad was preaching at the lunchtime, Prahlad told his classmates, if you can place your faith in me, then you can really make advancement. So the thing is, you have to find somebody to whom you have implicit faith and trust. Not just anybody. But you should select someone who you have firm faith and belief. That was your case, right? I think your case also, Pushpanjali. Yes? Right? And many of you. Same way with Nimai Charan. right? You found that person who you had no more doubts about. Yes, this person is going to act as my spiritual doctor. Then, I've seen over the years, I've seen it, how you have advanced, I've seen how you have advanced because you have come to that stage. There are no more doubts now. Let's go on. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus, he is not bound by the reactions of work, O conqueror of riches, Dhananjay. Final verse, we did it. Final verse, therefore. Whenever you see this word, therefore, that means so much has been stated, now the conclusion. The judge, right, takes his hammer. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance, that's why doubts are there, ignorance, should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. And as I've already said, where is the knowledge? It's right there in Bhagavad Gita. It's right there. Just have to open the book and read it. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and notice again, same message, stand and fight. What do you think, yoga? What do you think? Devotional service. He has been saying it throughout the chapter. Akarma, bhakti, devotional service. Even if you wanted to give the argument that he's talking about Ashtanga Yoga, that Ashtanga Yoga would have to be Bhakti Ashtanga Yoga. So the yoga means, which he, the whole chapter was about linking, right? This knowledge of yoga I imparted to the sun god. Bhagavad Gita is all about devotional service. That will become more and more clear as we go through the chapters. Yoga means linking with the Supreme, connecting with the Supreme. So, according to the Bhagavad Gita, the way to connect with the Supreme is bhakti. Krishna will say in this Bhagavad Gita, you want to know me? Bhakti. You want to see me? Bhakti. You want to understand me? Bhakti. There is no alternative. That's the only way. Now, I have a special announcement. In consultation with our GBC, it is, as you can see, we're only able to do one chapter a night. We're not going to be able to finish the entire Bhagavad Gita. So, our GBC has agreed with my suggestion. Starting tomorrow, we will not do complete chapters, but I will select the most, as you see in this chapter, there were several sections, right? So I'm going to select the more important sections going forward. This way we'll get more of a general overview. Does that make sense? And Shekharji, so tomorrow your sheet may cover several chapters. We'll have to see how it turns out. But it's going to be the most significant sections, so that by the end of next week, we'll have covered Bhagavad Gita in general. I hope that meets with your approval. All in favor, say Haribo. All right. We're going to do Nisringa prayers. You wanted to do something, Shekharji, at this time? Can I start singing? All right. Let me get my drum sound. All right. So, did you like tonight's chapter? I think it was much better than last night. You'll like tomorrow even better. I guarantee it. Namaste Narasinghaya. Namaste Narasinghaya. Prahlada Klada Dayane. Hiranya Kashi Pura Vakshaha. Yes, everyone come and do arti. Shila Dangana Kala. It's called Akarma. Ito Nrsingha Padato Nrsingha. Yato Yato Yamitato Nrsingha. Bahi Nrsingha Hridaye Nrsingha. Nrsingham Madim Sharanam Prapadye. Nrsingham Madim Sharanam Prapadye. Tava Kara Kamalavarei Nakam Adabhuta Shringam. Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanubringa. Keshavadvita Narahadi Rupa. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Keshavadvita Narahari Rupa. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Jagadisha Hare. Jai Nrisingha Dev. Nrisingha Dev. Nrisingha Dev. Jai Nrisingha Dev. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now this Dupad Padamangsa.